All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran of practicing law in Alabama, and oh, by the way, a longtime conservative, sponsor of the Right Side Way. I'll tell you more about Stan in a minute. So let me just start off by saying I once had a friend that told me that she didn't believe in politics. Okay, fine. I mean, I choose to believe that donuts don't make me gain weight, but they do anyway, whether I choose to believe it or not. But she didn't believe in politics. Well, that friend actually went a bit further. She told me that she had a jaded view of politics and politicians overall, and I can get that. But then she told me her silent form of protest was to deliberately not vote. To which I replied that she had abdicated her right to complain then. In other words, you get in the game or you stay out of the way. But don't complain later if you chose to sit it out and didn't like the score. You see, my friend's problem was she was so busy seeking the perfect that she forgot to appreciate the good. There's no such thing as a perfect politician. There's no such thing as perfect politics. You know why? Because there's no such thing as perfect people. But there are good ones. And that's the point. You know, at the same time I talk about that, I find myself sometimes, though, amazed at the extent to which people will do what I call majoring in the minors. I mean, there are literally people right now that will base all their thoughts and emotions on one singular aspect, one question, one policy in politics. And when those single-issue people don't get their way, I mean, after putting all their eggs in one basket, they lash out. Don't like the idea that transgenders are being banned from girls' locker rooms? Let's have a freakout. Don't like the idea that U.S. supports Israel's rights to exist? Lash out. Don't like spending, not spending, overspending, underspending, spending about spending? Everybody's corrupt. All politicians on the take. No kidding. I mean, you can't be a single-issue voter, because if that's the case, then you are letting the quest for the perfect outweigh the good. I remember once going to a high school football game. I've got an analogy here. Bear with me. I went to a high school football game. You see, my kids went to Westbrook Christian, which is a large private school in Northeast Alabama. Westbrook's always had great athletics. That's where Brody Croyle came from. Westbrook made it to the state playoffs that year, and we traveled to a game in Parrish, Alabama, over in Walker County. And it was a close game, y'all. Fans were cheering loud on both sides. Westbrook had the ball on fourth down deep in Parrish territory, down by 5 on the scoreboard with seconds to play in the fourth quarter. Everything was down to one play. The pass was up, and it was incomplete. The crowd on Parrish's side went wild, but then there was a flag on the play. Pass interference, 15-yard penalty, first down. Less than 10 seconds on the clock, there's a snap. The near side receiver caught the screen. Touchdown, Westbrook. No time left on the clock. Westbrook wins by 1 point. And then, as we all watched in amazement, a man came down out of the stands from the Parrish side. He ran out on the field, and he literally sucker-punched the head referee. Just cold-cocked him and knocked him on the ground right there in front of everybody. Well, the Parrish side, they were apoplectic. There were shouts at the Westbrook fans. There were threats being yelled. And, of course, one of the referees had just been knocked down with a punch to the face. Westbrook players were ushered to their locker room. The announcer came on. He asked that all the Westbrook fans remain in the stands for their own safety. Go figure. We sat in the stands for a good half hour or more before local law enforcement came and actually escorted us all out to our cars and asked that we caravan as a group together with the school bus full of players with police escort out of town. I've never seen anything like that before or since. But it was a clear indication to me, though, that a good game was not good enough. You see, some of the Parrish fans were demanding their version of perfection, and when they couldn't get it, they lashed out. The quest for the perfect outweighed all sense of the good. They didn't like the result, so somebody had to pay. That's where they were. Look, people too often get caught up in the trap of making the quest for the perfect the enemy of the good. It's a thing. It really is. We become purists, in which only the perfect version of what we seek is considered good enough and everything else is considered failure. And now, look, there's something to be said for making an effort to achieve perfection. I get that. I'm the world's worst at putting my quest for the best possible solution on such a pedestal that anything else is considered a loss. But there are times in life we need to realize we may not ever achieve the ultimate version of our idea of success, but we will still have nonetheless succeeded if we will accept the fact that sometimes the good is great. Case in point, not long ago, Charlene and I attended the annual Alabama Policy Institute dinner. It was a great night. We were able to share the evening with so many folks with whom we had served in state government or in the trenches fighting on conservative policy. And Scott Rasmussen, who was a nationally known pollster who was once the founder of ESPN, he was the keynote speaker. He gave a great speech. In the course of giving his speech, he also told a story. And that story, it really piqued my attention. I've actually told it to you before several years ago, but I got to bring it back up. I had to track it down to verify some of the facts, but it's fascinating. Many of you, if you were to do a quick search online or just from your own memory banks, would probably agree that women in America won the right to vote back in 1920 when the 19th Amendment was ratified. It was a landmark moment. The women's suffrage movement had been working feverishly for decades. So yes, in 1920, women were granted voting rights across America. But Rasmussen pointed out that many don't recall that women actually first obtained the right to vote in certain states that chose to act alone. And the very first among them was Wyoming. Wyoming. Yep. Wyoming, our 44th state, admitted to the Union in 1890. And despite having the 10th largest landmass of any state, it's still one of the least populated. And to this date, the total population of Wyoming is like less than 600,000. Like, it's like Huntsville and Mobile with a little bit of Coleman thrown in. That's how big it is. But despite all the remoteness and the small population size, the then territory of Wyoming was actually the first to grant women the right to vote. They did it in 1869. So how'd that happen? All right, keep in mind what I'm talking about here, the quest for the perfect, the good. Well, Wyoming was a wilderness territory. It was not known to be a bastion of progressive public policy. And it turns out there were a few of the territorial legislators, though, who actually favored the idea of women having the vote. But the reality of why it got the votes for women is far less chivalrous. You see, the territorial governor of Wyoming at the time, in 1869, he thought that if they could pass a bill, it would give the state some notoriety, so he signed up for it. But one of the driving motivators was actually the fact that men just wanted women to move to Wyoming. I mean, you heard me. In 1869, the rough population of Wyoming was like 6,000 males, but only 1,000 females. So loneliness and the desire for female companionship actually drove the train and the sincere hope of many of the male citizens of the Wyoming Territory to accede to the idea of women voting was simply by hoping that granting them the right to vote would draw more women to the state. The women's suffrage movement was less than enthused with this basis for their win. So the suffrage movement actually chose not to even fully embrace what happened in Wyoming. It was 50 years later, y'all, half a century later, before Congress actually passed the 19th Amendment. But I gotta ask, was it wrong for the men of Wyoming to try and improve their odds of getting a spouse by passing an important piece of historic legislation? I mean, is it possible that what was deemed imperfect was actually really, really good? See, here's the thing. I believe that we as conservatives, we too often get caught in the trap of letting the quest for the perfect become the enemy of the good. We do. I've seen it firsthand. I can remember working on pro-life legislation, and there were times when the various factions of the pro-life movement could not even agree. It was all or none, ban it outright or lose it all. But y'all, if we could gain enough votes for 80% of the solution one time, as opposed to none of the votes for 100%, why would we not take the 80% win and save some children? I mean, to be honest, I'll tell you right now, I'm an all-the-way kind of person. I'm 110%er. I don't believe in half measures, generally speaking. If I'm taking a test, my goal is to get 100%. And I have more than once pursued perfection in all my efforts, but rarely have I ever attained it. We should always strive for the best, but we should realize that an 80% solution might be what we're going to get. But let's don't let ourselves be like the women's suffrage movement who chose to look down on the victory in Wyoming because they didn't believe the motives behind it were pure enough somehow. It was a victory, pure and simple. Women were voting in Wyoming. It might not have been perfect, but it was really, really good. That football game in Parrish, you can't get so wrapped up in how you feel that you're willing to lash out when you don't get exactly what you want. It doesn't work that way in life. We can't let the quest for the perfect, whatever that means in our eyes, become the enemy of the good, and that includes politics. Sometimes the least bad option winds up being better. Sometimes the 80% solution is going to achieve the actual end. Never stop pursuing perfection. That's not what I'm saying. But don't ever let yourself be fooled by the notion that it has to be perfect in order to be good. We're in a mode right now where everyone who voted for Trump had their own reasons, and some are already becoming dissatisfied because their particular cause is not being met or not yet perfected. But me personally, I think it's going extremely well. I'm honest when I say that. But some are down on foreign policy or down on legislation or down on the DOJ not having enough perp walks or down on spending and budgeting. Look, you can be frustrated, but never forget where we were. By and large, I'll take what we got right now every single day of the week. It may not be perfect, but by comparison, it is really, really good. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.